Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had a transformational experience? It's one of those things you hear, you know, self-help gurus talk about all the time. Having some sort of transformational experience. But if you think about it, I'm pretty sure most of you have had one. When you looked into the eyes of your spouse as you were coming down the aisle, ladies, or men, when you were standing waiting, seeing your bride come down the aisle toward you, when you looked into the eyes of your newborn child for the first time, or when you look into the eyes, Dana, of your grandchild for the first time next week, in that moment, something happens. You saw the world one way, and from that moment on, your world changes. You see the world in a completely different way. For me, it happened 25 years ago this month. I just started at a new church, was attending there after having been arguing with God for a couple years. I started coming back to church. And because I have the voice that I have, I was immediately recruited into the choir. And we're sitting there in choir rehearsals for the Christmas cantata. And I saw something that changed my life. I saw my wife, who wasn't my wife yet, she wouldn't even give me the time of day, walking in late to choir rehearsal. I can remember it as if it had just happened. She had this long blue coat on. She was rushing in. There was nothing spectacular in what she was doing, but in that instant that I saw her, my whole world changed, and I knew I would never be the same again. I didn't just see her, I beheld her. That's the word we have for this week, behold. And it doesn't mean just to see something. It means to behold it. How many parents? We've got parents here. First time you looked into the eyes of your newborn child, it was as if that child reached up and took hold of your heart, right? And you knew in that instant that your world would never be the same. Not simply that your life would never be the same, but the way that you perceived your entire world has fundamentally changed. Why? Because you beheld your child. In other words, to behold something, more than simply see it, to behold something, you must first be held. When that child seizes control of your heart, when the woman you will spend the rest of your life with seizes control of your heart, in that moment you are held. And it changes you forever, because when you are held, you then behold. You see that person, and everything else that you see for the rest of your life, you see through the eyes that beheld. This is what a transformational experience is all about. And this is what's going on with Mary in our gospel lesson. Three times in the gospel lesson, we hear the words, "And behold." Now, what's interesting there is this word, "behold," this transformational seeing. In our gospel text, it doesn't actually accompany any seeing at all. The angel Gabriel shows up. It doesn't say that it's some miraculous glowy thing with wings on. Okay? It just says an angel. And then, best we can understand, the angel appeared in the form of a man. So this man shows up. And he says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Why should that freak Mary out? But it does. She's terrified. Quite simply because she's a betrothed woman. She's not supposed to be seeing men at all. And all of a sudden, there appears this guy in front of her and says this weird thing. She's a little scared. And he says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Problem is, there's nothing to behold. All right? He's not saying, "Hey, check it out." He's saying, "And behold, witness this. See the world in a completely different way." Does that moment change her? Actually, no. We're not there yet. Because while he's telling her to behold, she hasn't yet beheld. She says, "I'm a virgin. How can this be?" And it says, the angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son." The second, and behold. He's pointing somewhere else. All of this stuff's going to be true. This is happening. You can trust it. Why can you trust it? And behold, the other part of the country, way over there, nothing to see yet, but way over there, your cousin Elizabeth, you know, that old lady that's never been able to have kids, she's pregnant. In fact, she's not just pregnant, she's really pregnant. She's in her like 6th month. What I'm telling you is true, and you can trust it. Look at that miracle right there. A miracle has taken place, and that means you can trust it. Does she trust it yet? No, she doesn't. She doesn't go, "Woohoo! I see the world differently." No. She resigns herself to the possibility. What's her response? Her response is, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." That is not a transformational utterance. That's resignation. That is, okay, you appear, boop, there you go. You say that this is going to happen to me. I'm terrified. But you say there's proof of it through my cousin Elizabeth, that a miracle has happened there, and because that miracle has happened, I can trust this. See, there was a transformational experience. It just hasn't happened yet. It's what happens next. The next day, right as soon as she possibly could, right? Maybe it was a day, maybe it was a week, we don't know. She arranges to take a trip. She travels out of Galilee into the hill country in Judah. She goes to visit Elizabeth. And what does she see in that moment? She sees a miracle. She sees this elderly woman 6 months pregnant. And she beheld her. It changed her whole life. We know this because she says it. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." She looked upon that miracle. And in that instant, the Lord took hold of her heart, and she beheld the glory of the Lord. Our candle for this morning is the angel candle. That signifies, yes, the angels proclaiming the good news to the shepherds, but in this case, it's proclaiming that first evangelist, the angel Gabriel, the one who brought the good news, the one who brought first in Luke the good news to Mary. In Matthew, he brings it to Joseph. But this angel, Gabriel, angel means messenger. This messenger, Gabriel, brings the good news of God the Son incarnate. He is the first good news messenger or evangelist. That's what it means. What's interesting here is that the angel, the good news messenger, doesn't save Mary. The good news messenger doesn't transform Mary. Something else is required. She must behold the glory of God. The messenger doesn't carry the glory of God. The messenger carries the good news. It is only when she goes and sees her cousin Elizabeth, seeing the miracle working out in her, that through that miracle the glory of God is revealed and she beholds the glory of God and God Himself takes hold of her heart. To behold, one must first beheld. This is something that's hard for us to wrap our heads around. After all, as Lutherans, most, if not all of us, were baptized as infants. Most, if not all of us, don't remember that transformational moment of faith when the Spirit took hold of your heart and you first beheld the glory of God. Most of us have experienced this at a very early age, so early that we've never seen or understood the world in any different way. It's always been that way for us. We were transformed through the waters of baptism, the water with the Word, and we beheld the glory of God. But here is our challenge today. Our world isn't that way anymore. Most people in our community don't go to church, have never beheld the glory of God. So how can that change? What are we supposed to do about it? Does that mean we're all supposed to go out, get on soapboxes, knock on doors and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," or "Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins"? How many of you feel comfortable going and doing that? Not many, right? Now, there may be those here who have been called to be good news messengers. There might be some here. And if that's the case, get comfortable with it because you're going to do it. You may not like it, but the harder you fight it, the worse it's going to be. But that's not what most of us are called to. However, we are all called to proclaim the glory of God. Do you know how? We are miracles. Did you know that about yourself? That you are a walking and talking miracle? Think about it. You were one thing, and now you're another. You were lost in sin, given over to death, with no hope. And in a moment, in an instant, like that, the Holy Spirit took hold of you. And through faith worked in your heart as a free gift of God, you were made a new creation. You were born again. You are a living, walking, talking miracle. You may not see it, but if you let the world look upon you and the joy in your heart as a member of the body of Christ, forgiven and saved and given eternal life. They will see it. They will look upon you and they will behold the glory of God. We are all called to proclaim God's glory through our very being. Doesn't mean you knock on doors. Doesn't mean you get on a soapbox. It means that you live your life in your work, among your family, getting your rope caught. You live every day in the joy of your redemption and salvation. You live each day rejoicing in the blessed miracle that is you, this new creation. And as you do, others will see that miracle, just as Mary looked upon Elizabeth, saw the miracle, and beheld the glory of God. This is our challenge today, to live our lives in response to the miracle worked within us. You have been taken hold of by the Holy Spirit, and you have beheld the glory of God, and it has changed you forever. You are a miracle. So as you go out, live your life in response to that miracle, in the joy of what the Lord has done in your life, so that others might behold. For with God, all things are possible. Amen. We will continue with the hymn of the day.